When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Pick up your phone while driving, and you might need to be picked up from work. Break the speed limit, and you could be breaking plans with your mates. Leave L or N plates off your car, and you could be left getting taxis for the next 6 months. So ask yourself, is it really worth it? 7 penalty points over 3 years will disqualify learner and novice drivers for 6 months. Steer clear of points and stay on the road. A message from the Road Safety Authority.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Blood and Mud podcast, the podcast that now, Josh, would you believe, has too much gravel.
Jesus. What are you going to do with it?
Well, at the minute, I'll tell you what I've got to do now. I've had to move it barra by barra around the back of my house, and it's now a pile on my patio, having done the dry. Honestly. I'm like the fucking Goldilocks of gravel. Nothing's just not anything that's just right.
Can you, like, I mean, I was going to say sublet, but sort of sub, you know, flog gravel.
Get it on the local Facebook group.
Exactly, yeah.
I am going to need it. I'm going to make some paths in my back garden, just like in between some plants and shit.
Well, you might as well know.
To try and separate and all that. But honestly, see, I never stopped moaning, did I? I'm only adding on last week. Now I've got too many. But you know, I was in doubt that this day would ever come, obviously.
Ultimately, let's appreciate that fact.
Yeah, you know that Martin Luther King speech? That might, when he said, you know, I've been to the top of the mountain and I've seen the promised land and I might not get there with you, but I know that we're, you know, I had that feeling last week. You know, I might never get to having the promised land of gravel. Because I'm sure that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, he was talking about, you know, not specifically gravel, but drives in general.
Yeah,
drive
absolutely.
Covering, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was probably talking about block paving. Because a man of his stature would want that, wouldn't he?
It would, exactly. And, you know, it was the 1960s sort of, that was sort of stuff.
Maybe even crazy paving.
It probably had crazy. He was probably talking about crazy paving.
I mean, a lot of people in cars coming to his house to talk about changing the world and making it a better place. He couldn't have had gravel, it would have been too disruptive. Tire tracks everywhere.
I mean, imagine the raking you'd have to do on that.
Or he'd be fuming. Can you imagine? Comes in after a hard day's fucking equality fired everybody in the way he did. And all he could see was tire tracks in his gravel. Absolutely tamping.
He wouldn't want that. No, he'd want a nice, you know, array of sort of vaguely interlocking, irregular flagstones.
And then he'd use that
thick mortar in between them.
He'd use that as some kind of magnificent parable in a speech somewhere.
Exactly, because look at all the different colours in the crazy paving.
Yeah, and the shapes, but they work perfectly. Yeah.
They all fit perfectly together, and they're all stronger than they would be apart.
I hope that one day a paving slab will be judged on the content of its character, not the etc.
The minerals of its composition.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah,
I mean, some people could say we're trivialising this. Far.
You could say we're trivialising it quite a bit much.
But, you know, everyone has their mountain to climb. And that one was mine.
Indeed. Yeah.
But we're here now. So, but I'll tell you what, though, Josh. I'll tell you what. Shoveling 20 ton of gravel in a day is tough on the arms when you're a weak as piss office worker like me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of moment where you realise that you have not spent a life in manual labour is when you have to do that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I spent most of the last 18 months sat in a chair or lying on a couch.
Mm.
You know, there's been no... I didn't get on that curly-haired gets train of doing fucking squat thrusts in my living room. What's he called?
No.
The Nation's PE. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that guy.
I got to know... That's,
I get,
you know,
vibes from that guy, by the way. I don't know, just the wrong one.
One day, it's all going to come out.
Absolutely. But,
I mean, the worst thing, obviously, there's been lots of terrible things about this pandemic, right? I've been at the cutting edge of some of it, and it's been pretty rough, yeah? Deaths, disruption. We've had some, what you might call, bad news today, as we record this, that England is not free from the 21st of June. I live in Wales, where it was never planned to be free from then anyway. But the press don't like to report
that's the thing.
That,
you
do
were
they?
Never meant to be going out.
No. So there's been some shit things, but I think a couple things that are... So I'm not saying it's near that, but near the top probably is the profile of Joe Wicks.
Yes.
And secondly, the proliferation of Peloton as a thing.
I tell you what, I get it. Like, people no longer want to go to gyms. I completely understand that. But Jesus Christ, there's something real prickish about Peloton.
All of it should have been burnt to the ground by now. And if we could get outside, that's what we would be doing. But unfortunately, it just keeps on growing. It was just a bike for a while, but now they're doing all sorts to do it.
It's a fucking treadmill. There's a treadmill that kills kids.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. They had
what
to
happened?
Stop this. They had to like recall all the treadmills because a kid got killed.
A kid death. I mean, that's not funny.
It's not funny.
But how's that not putting people off? I mean, people should have been put off at the idea of a braying American screaming at you while you're sweating. But instead, you know, surely killing of children is the final nail.
Every single one of those adverts that are on all the time, and they are
all
the
time, yeah,
all the time, just make me want to never, ever, ever use one. And like, I get it. I've got an Apple Fitness Plus subscription. I will get brayed at by a need-to-sleep positive American while I'm on the bike, try and get me over the fucking line. But there's just something about the whole Peloton package and the fact that the barrier of entry is a £3,000 exercise.
It's the lifestyle equipment shit that comes with it.
It's the fact
that
it's like it will send a t-shirt with you and a water bottle. It's like, I don't want to advertise this. Do you always think I want people to know that I've got £3,000 to spend on a fucking exercise bike?
But, you see... You know, the internet is always listening, isn't it? They are always listening. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact now, my phone's next to me here, and I reckon I'm going to get an advert for a subscription to the Peloton shoveling package, which is a purely functional fitness package for people who just want 100%. To move things with a spade.
Which, it's like, you know how people have got, like, who are on the old creatine?
Hmm.
You know, we'll always have like a fucking...
What must their toilet be like, by the way?
Indeed, agreed. But like, you know, they'll have their thing that they mix their horrible powders in.
Yes.
That says Maxi Muscle or something on the side of it. It's like, why would you want people to know? Why don't you just put it in a normal thing? Yeah. Why do you have to...
Put it in a thermos. Let people think it's tomato soup or something.
Exactly. Why do you want people to know? And it's particularly with Peloton. Why do you want... people to like, I know people who like, I don't know them, thank God, but I've seen people on the internet that not only drive Tesla cars, which I can sympathize with, it's a very cool car, even though Elon Musk is a total prick, but they also wear Tesla t-shirts, you know, like, and people who buy a Porsche and then have like a Porsche keyring. It's like that episode of Friends where Joey just wears all of the Porsche stuff to pretend he's got a Porsche. I just can't get with it.
Having said that, I've got a Fender Telecaster.
Yeah.
A Fender amp.
Mm.
And the other week I bought a Fender t-shirt.
It's different though.
Is it though? Just because we say it is, because that's what we would do?
Yeah, because Fender's an iconic fucking thing of rock and roll. Porsche isn't anything of rock and roll. You know?
It's because James Dean died in one.
I mean, yeah. Porsche, I guess maybe.
But the...
Fender guitars are cool. Exercise bikes are not.
It's like private number plates. I'll never understand it. I know people who have them, but I don't get... I think I'm more fascinated by the fact that...
I got one foused upon me.
What? By who?
I'm going to tell you about this. My father. Oh my God. What a story this is. So, about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit more, shortly before my dad left my mother for another woman, and he was in full the peak of midlife crisis. He
don't
bought
know why
a Jaguar.
That's very sad. I'm sorry
fucking,
about that.
No, it is fucking funny. He was in the throes of a full-on midlife crisis and decided he was going to buy a Jag. But because he's one of these people that sort of doesn't want people to know that he hasn't bought a new car, he bought a Jag and then he bought a private number plate to go with the Jag.
It takes the age off it, as they say.
Exactly. I hate it so much. Anyway, so he buys this Jag, buys a private number plate for it. But because getting his own initials or whatever would be too expensive, and he doesn't really care what this says, he buys a private number plate with my initials on it, which you can imagine how I reacted to that straight off the bat. I was not pleased. Fast forward about 10 years, and or maybe even about 6 or 7 years, my dad sells the Jag, wants to keep the number plate, hasn't bought a new car yet, and goes, I can't have this number plate without having a car to put it on. Can I temporarily put it on your Fiat Punto until I get a new car? And I was like, you fucking kidding me? But I was like, yeah, fucking fine, whatever, but I don't want it. Like, I'm telling you now, I do not want it. And
why can you not have it on a car? Does it like lose
its registration?
I mean, I'm
sure he was lying to me. I'm sure he was lying to me. He's an inveterate liar. I'm sure he was lying to me. And so I was like, yeah, but seriously, just until you get a new car. And then he went and got Motability and will now never own another car.
That touches it.
Yeah. So that left me with a car with a private number plate on it that was then my initials on my 2005 Fiat Punto, looking like the world's...
Was it literally like 1JG?
It was S11JTG was the initials. And every time, the worst thing would be if I had to drive that car into work because the Focus was in the garage or whatever, and someone from the office would go, you got a private number plate? I go... And then I'd have to tell this story.
You're saying, no, I bought it from Argentina.
But it's a happy, you know, it's a happy ending because I gave that car to my dad to have a little run around because we weren't using it. So he's now responsible for it again. And I never have to drive around in a car with my own fucking initials on it ever again.
As I said before, I think I've said this before, but I don't. If you had anything else with your initials on, they would think you'd like escape from a secure unit, wouldn't they?
100%, yeah. Or you were, you know, a professional athlete who's got a lot of stuff.
And your training gear. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. That's the only time it's really acceptable. But yeah, you put it on a car.
Has monogrammed anything.
Some people have it on the cuffs, yeah, don't they? I mean, you go to meet with some people, they've got it on the cuff, and you're just like, seriously, I don't want to, you know. And so you put your initials on a yellow bit of plastic on a moving lump of steel.
Apparently that's
more
socially
acceptable. Thousands of pounds and people want it. Very, very odd.
I don't get it. I'll never get it.
So if you had a personalised number plate on your Peloton, I mean the level of disgrace that you'd be operating.
I bet you can get a monogram on your Peloton.
Of course you can.
You know how Apple will like etch anything onto an iPhone or an iPod or
you can get carbon fucking road bikes with your name sprayed into the frame and all that stuff,
yeah,
can't you?
There's people. You know, it's the same sort of people, to bring this back to guitars, who put their name, who sort of have their names inlaid on their fretboards of their guitars. Unless you're Elvis fucking Presley.
Or Jimmy
don't
Rogers.
Do it. Yeah, just don't fucking do it. Like,
bizarre.
If your name's
would be
like Phil.
If we did that, because if I haven't got the spots, I've got no chance.
Anyway, that was a diversion.
That was a diversion, wasn't
standards.
It?
Hello,
everyone.
Hello yet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lee. And over there is...
You know, I mean, you know I'm Josh. You've just had a potted version of my sordid family history.
I do love the fact that for the last 5.5 years, I've just been telling you lot everything about me. You know, about my testicle operations, the lot. Whereas Josh has been dripping this out. And now we start to find out things. I like it. So that's why I'm keeping this pod. Only reason I'm keeping this pod going is to turn it into some kind of confessional.
Just wants to find it out,
Yeah, anyway, so you want to get in touch with us. I'm at Blood and Mud or Lee at bloodandmud.com. And Josh, you are?
At Josh Gardner or at @rucked_mag.
And we're on Acast, we're on Apple, we're on patreon.com/bloodandmud, where you can rock up and join for £2 a month or £20 for a year, get extra episodes, extra long episodes, unedited episodes of the weekly pod. You get access to the private Facebook group, which is a lovely little chatty place to be. Everyone's very friendly, very nice. Lots of good rugby chat in there and other things. You get to see an exclusive picture of my gravel being delivered, because that's the kind of red hot content that patrons want.
It was good stuff. Don't pretend it wasn't.
So patreon.com/bloodandmud. If you want to go there. We also have the £5 tier, which is the Ali Brew Lounge, as we know. And we have people who come in there and you get us having a go at doing a player biography for you. And first up, Josh, this week, who've you got?
Well, John McDonald didn't have a farm.
Very good.
And he would be at pains to ensure that you knew that before you even had a chance to make that joke. But in an ironic twist, he was often getting sent off for using agricultural language to the referee. But nobody actually has the bottle to call him out on this, because he was, and I cannot say this strongly enough, fucking terrifying. Like, imagine Martin Johnson crossed with Brian Lima multiplied by Charlie Faulkner. That's what I'm saying. Just don't say anything to him, all right? Just whatever
say
you
nothing.
Do. Don't no Happy Meal jokes. No, Old MacDonald had a farm jokes. Just nothing. Just let him go. Do his thing.
Yeah, so there you go, John. So it took us a little while. We missed John a few weeks ago, so he just prompted us. Anybody else who needs to prompt us, please do. We're not deliberately ignoring you. It'll be an oversight, and we apologise to you, John, and thanks for that. Speaking of farms, have you seen the latest offering on Amazon? Clarkson's Farm?
No, I can't. I mean, it wasn't going to go straight into my
Jeremy Clarkson is in an eight-part thing where he tries to run a farm.
I'm sure that's going to have predictably hilarious consequences.
Hilarity ensues, I think.
I mean, yeah, I would hope so.
I want to watch it because I hope that around about episode 5, he falls into his own threshing machine.
I was going to say, I hope there's a threshing machine accident. That would be my vibe.
Or like in James, what was his name? The guy who wrote The Fog. James Herbert.
James Herbert,
like in James Herbert, The Fog. Not to be confused with the film The Fog, very different plot altogether.
Very different.
Where the cows get breathing the fog and turn into killing machines and stamp all over the farmer and his family.
I mean, I'm sensing a great deal of enthusiasm for the oeuvre of Jeremy Clarkson here.
You know what? I didn't hate him. I found, you know, he's one of those people who can be amusing. I get offended at the fact how much money Amazon must have thrown at him just to do things like that.
I sort of
this
feel
moribund
similarly.
Bollocks that he does now.
Yeah, it's incredibly middle of the road, like sort of.
He thinks PC's gone mad, guaranteed.
Of course, absolutely he does. But this is the sort of thing, it's like they're kind of making programming to sort of thumb their nose at something that doesn't exist. This fictional, like, Islington vegetarian, like, public transport user that doesn't exist. And they think that they're having a big old laugh at their expense, when in fact they're just some middle-aged dudes dicking about.
GB News started yesterday.
Ways. Yes, it did.
Which, on the opening day, had a phone-in with Alan Sugar.
Of course it did. And within an hour, had for all their talk of balance, had somebody spouting unsubstantiated, well, incorrect bollocks about fucking COVID and lockdown within an hour. And of course it was Dan Wooden, obviously.
Unbelievable. Anyway, So thank you, John. Sorry you made me think about farms then. You didn't, John. Josh did.
Tell you what, a lot of people don't understand how selling advertisement works either, because there was a lot of people crowing about how they got all these blue chip advertisers to be on their first adverts. And what they don't realise is that those advertisers just will buy any fucking spare bit of shit airtime available on a network. They'll just buy on bulk. Mm. And they'll just automatically buy. That's how ad buying works, guys. It's not like Amazon desperately wanted to be on GB News. It's a case of it was cheap as fuck.
Yeah, their agency just bought some of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, right then. Anyway, so thank you, John. So moving on, second this week, thank you very much to William Owen Daniels. I've got William was a star of the famous Welsh side of the great pre-war years. William was a talented outside half, but a very arrogant man who, you know, struggled with his teammates sometimes. Unfortunately, the Great War intervened and he joined the Treorchy Pals Regiment. However, he did manage to avoid the Battle of Mametz Wood after becoming injured by being thrown into a load of nettles nude by his own men. And he was invalided back to Blighty, where he went on to have a successful career as a Cardiff Blue, as the Cardiff administrator. He said Cardiff Blues then, as if Cardiff Blues existed in 1919.
There was never a time when the Cardiff Blues didn't exist. Cardiff
was just
Blues
lurking.
Is a state of yeah. Cardiff Blues is a state of mind. It's not a
yes, it is.
It's not a region. It's not an entity. It's not a, certainly not a club. No. It's a state of mind.
It is an entity within the five entities. Right then, so that's thank you very much to William and John. Patreon.com/bloodandmud if you want to join. We will be doing lots of extra stuff around the Lions tour, won't we?
Yes.
I'm working for The Guardian for a bit of it. I'm hoping they give me Lions versus Lions. That'll be a fucking cracking thing to...
everybody wants the Lions
to live
Lions.
To live blog, won't it? They don't call it that anymore. Listen to me like it's 2009, a live blog.
I mean, what do you call it? Do you call it a minute by minute?
Minute by minute, they call it now. Yeah, or just live. Yeah. Blogs aren't a thing anymore. Are blogs still a thing?
I don't think so.
Or if they vlogs are not called that anymore.
Vlogs are a thing. Blogs aren't a thing.
I never quite caught the video thing. I can't bring myself to do it.
In any way, I remember 2015, really. people were pushing me when I was doing the rugby shirt stuff to get into video, to pivot to video, indeed, as was the trend in those days. And I just never really had any interest in doing it.
Yeah.
And I really like the sound of my own voice, as you can tell. So it
that's why we're here, mostly, me and you.
Mm. Yeah, it's not for me, Clive.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that was the VIP lines. Thank you very much. We begin, as we always begin, Josh, now, don't we? With the player spotted. Simon Jones reaches out, and he says this. Back in late 2019, when we were still allowed to go out of an evening, I was heading home from a works evening out and getting the 9:53 train from Edinburgh Waverley to Tweed Bank. Nice detail. I like it.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
I didn't realise the Intercity stops at Waverley. So I went all the way into Edinburgh on the train and I went to Murrayfield, walked to Murrayfield, it's about fucking 3 miles or something, walked to Murrayfield, then walked all the way back to the main station when it actually stops at Waverley, which is halfway between Murrayfield and the main station.
Meh.
Yeah.
I
must tell you that story again sometime because it was a blinder. But the so Edinburgh Waverley to Tweed Bank. Sit down in the carriage, says Simon, and start reading a bunch of crap on my phone. Noticing there is some hilarity a bit further down the train. Having had a few beers, I choose to ignore it and continue browsing. After a little while, there was still a fair amount of noise coming from the crowd down the train, so I look up to see what's going on. There's a group chatting away and laughing, certainly with at least one of the train staff amongst them. And whilst there may well have been a number of rugby players in the group, the one that was instantly recognisable was a certain Doddy Weir.
Oh.
Doddy was wearing a neck brace at the time, but seemed in very good form, certainly laughing a lot coming from him and all the people with him. Had to get off the train a few minutes later so he didn't manage to identify his companions. And he says, anyway, Simon says, I'm looking forward to Dodmaster event in a few weeks. Keep up the great pod. Thank you very much, Simon. But yeah,
it's always nice to hear. It's always nice to hear word of Dodd, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Yes. And it's always, well, there's been more Rob Burrow sightings this week, which is just heartbreaking every time you see it.
Yeah.
Mainly because I suppose you just don't realise the difference in the I know it's the wrong term, but the dose of motor neurons that they've all got now. Doddy's is slow, obviously much slower than Rob's.
Yeah, the sort of way he's kind of rapidly gone off a cliff is pretty.
But that must be really terrifying for Doddy as well, because he is obviously his mate now, isn't he? And he goes, "Oh shit." You can see what's going to happen to you before your eyes, Carl. It must be awful. But, I mean, the amazing thing is they just keep fucking going and are full of hope, aren't they?
Yeah, they remain uniquely fucking inspirational fellas, the pair of them. But, Jesus Christ, it is hard.
Simon refers to Dodmaster there. We are raising, me and you are helping, or trying to help, to raise some money for the My Name's Doddy 5 Foundation by going on the Dodmaster event that's arranged by the Scottish Rugby Blood podcast. It's on the 25th of June. It's being recorded. I've been given tasks to do. I'm representing England as the, because I'm English, I guess, in doing the task. So, I believe you're judging. Is that correct?
I am. I'm sort of going to be, I feel it's my best role is passing judgment on people. So.
I've never watched Taskmaster, so I'm going to do my best to try and understand what all this means. But you keep telling me it's brilliant. I never quite get around to watching it. It's one of those programs I'd like to watch. My wife pulls a face at the idea of watching it.
I was in that boat for a while, and I sort of just kind of was like, well, let's just give it a go. After about 5 years of not, you know, we started watching it last year, for example. So like 10 series in. But now we've watched them all because we like them a lot.
Well,
you just have to get in there.
I'll pass that on to you. I don't fancy my chances, though.
No.
So that was Player Spotted. Thank you, Simon. A lovely one. Doddy having a laugh on a train in 2019.
Lovely to see. Lovely to hear.
If you want to get in touch with us anything else, maybe you've seen somebody crying on a train.
Yeah.
For example. Who would be crying on a train?
I mean, I don't know.
Kyle Sinclair's got a crying on a train vibe about him. Don't know why.
A little bit, yeah. Like, just not necessarily with sadness, maybe with happiness. Maybe he's just watched one of those... Maybe he's just watched one of them really motivational sort of anime things, what he's into, and he's just made him really emotional, you know.
Yeah. And maybe if he didn't cry, he'd rip every seat out of the carriage. Maybe that's why he's having to sit there and cry.
Those are your options, yeah.
I can so just sit here and cry because you don't want to see what will happen if I don't, says Kyle.
Indeed.
Now then, news, Josh.
News indeed. News time. Lots of it.
Do you want to kick me off with the news?
Ireland have named their squad for the summer tests. Johnny Sexton, Kian Healy and Keith Earls have been rested, hopefully forever in some cases. And there are 11 debutants in the squad. Bobby Balliacoon is probably the most high-profile name, I'd say. He's been very good for Ulster. Had horrible luck with injuries. Good to see him finally getting a chance. Tom O'Toole and Nick Timoney from Ulster are also there. Carolyn Blade, Tom Daly and Paul Boyle from Connacht. Harry Byrne, Peter Dooley and Ross Maloney, who I'm sure doesn't exist, from Leinster. And Gavin Coons and Finney Wisherley from Munster. Ryan's captain in the squad. Joey Carberry's back in a green shirt, which has got to be good news. And Andy Farrell's ready to leave him at a drop of a hat. So, you know, whenever Gatland calls, he'll be there.
I am loving the perennial weed is the wrong term. It is wrong because I quite like him. But the perennial, we've lost a few players, so you're back in the squad. Stuart McCluskey is there. this is his entire Ireland career. You were playing games no one cares about, Stuart. We're sorry, but this is what it is.
He is good for about 1.5 caps a season. Either in the autumn or the summer.
And I think that might disqualify him from your so club selection because he might end up with about 28
caps.
He's going
to end up with too many, yeah. But they'll all have been against Canada and Fiji and, you know, the Pacific Islands. I mean, he's 28 now. He can't have too many more years of
being. He should be. Well, he's
Ireland.
In his prime now, isn't he?
He's
in his prime. He should have had like 50 caps under his belt by now if he was.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If Stuart McCloskey was Welsh and played under Warren Gatland, he absolutely would have 50 caps.
Can you imagine the number? Can you imagine?
Gatland would absolutely 6'4", 18 stone, quite quick. Thank you very much.
You'll do for me. Skill base is a bit low. Warren, never mind that. Get out of my sight, you cunt. Don't ever bring that up again.
Don't ever, ever, ever.
I didn't get this job for cunts like you to come in here telling me about skills.
I'll tell you what was quite good. Have you been watching any of the Lions stuff, what they have done on social media?
I have not.
Since they arrived in Jersey. Firstly, they're doing these like weekly behind-the-scenes YouTube shows that are about 10 or 15 minutes. And even though they are not very fly-on-the-wall-y in a sort of, you know, it's instead of the Lions
but a bit
doc,
more
basically.
Curated, are they?
They're a lot more curated. They're a lot more just, let's put someone in front of the camera and ask them some questions. It's kind of better than, like, genuinely, the one that they put out yesterday, it's probably more interesting than anything that was on the 2017 film.
So what was it?
It was just like them all meeting up at the training base when they did that thing last month where they got everybody in a room and gave them all their kit and sort of took photos of them and stuff. And it was like, oh, so how does that happen? Oh, well, that's how they all do those photos then. Oh, wow, fucking hell, yeah, they do get given a lot of kit each. Let's have Conor Murray take, you know, three holdalls worth of fucking kit apart and show it. And, you know, weirdly, even though it was incredibly middle of the road and boring, because it was sort of not having pretensions of being living with the fucking Lions, as all the Lions documentaries since have tried to be, it was just like, oh yeah, this is just some good kind of interesting social media content.
Has anyone on Jersey yet tongued a pregnant woman's belly button?
Not yet. Although I think, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, you know? I mean, they've got to get this documentary sold somehow, haven't they? There's not going to be one, is there? Haven't they said that they can't get distribution for it?
I think
nobody buys DVDs anymore. So
yeah, nobody wanted to pay for it. Sky didn't even want to pay for it. I think because they thought that there would be no inverted commas hijinks in a COVID world. But I think there's going to be more hijinks than ever in a COVID world because they're all going to be in a bubble.
They should just
go full
gorilla.
They can have nothing to do, but
they should go full gorilla and just let them all use their phones to record shit.
Yeah. But I think
not the kind of like 2011 England camp shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not the sort of, yeah, no, yeah. We don't need that. Like, just, yeah, like, surely they are literally going to be 10 weeks in a bubble with the same 40 or 50 people. Are you telling me that that's going to not have the potential for high drama and shenanigans? They've missed a trick.
They say South Africa's not a great tour, don't they? Because of the distances and because of there's not... I don't know because I've never been. This is what I remember saying, that it's, you know, Australia's the best tour to go to, both as a player and a fan. South Africa's a bit more problematic, but there's not as much fun, I guess. So I suppose if you're going to be in a bubble, maybe South Africa's the best place to be because there's nothing to tempt you outside.
Yeah, it's not like you can step out and you're in Melbourne, you know? You know, even the Australia players couldn't stop going out and fucking getting smashed at 3 a.m. on the last tour. So, yeah, I don't know. Weirdly, I'm quite enjoying the sort of low-rent nature of the lot. You know, now that the Lions sort of lowered their things from having a sort of Amazon all-or-nothing documentary down to let's just film some stuff for YouTube, lads. It's
reportage. Bit of reportage.
Indeed. Yeah, I just need to know what's going on.
So the Arnie cut, you skated over the beginning, but there's no Johnny Sexwinkle, is there?
No,
so,
he's been rested, but he's on Farrell's start.
Farrell's view is
waiting
I want
for the Lions.
Him and Earls and everyone else to have a full pre-season, is what he said. Which it makes some sense, actually. What are they going to learn about anybody in these summer tours, games? Japan are no mugs, but they're not, you know.
I mean, Japan are no mugs, but they only just beat the Sunwolves the other day. The Sunwolves don't even exist.
Yeah, Sunwolves are a scratch team.
You were 14-3 down at half time to a team that technically doesn't exist, lads.
It's not strong, is it?
No. But yeah, like, it's, you know, what are they going to find out about Jonathan Sexton that they haven't found in the first 100 caps, you know? Same with Kieran Healy, same with Keith Earls. But, and also, you know, it's a chance for maybe there to be a little break. And if Jonathan Sexton then doesn't. You've only got to leave Jonathan Sexton. I mean, your dog's really upset at the concept of Jonathan Sexton being left out of an Ireland squad permanently, but I'm afraid he's just going to have to live with that.
Somebody from Just Eat turned up on a bike to my house. He's driven the bike over my new gravel, so he's going to get launched if he doesn't get off quick.
I can see him, actually. I can see him out the window.
He's side-eyed. My daughter's just been and picked up whatever she's ordered, and he's side-eyed her a bit, so he's going to get launched for that as well.
He doesn't realise the danger that he's in right now.
That's the first time I've seen a Just Deep bike here. You don't tend to get that. You tend to get somebody called Bogdan in a second-hand car, to be honest.
I'll tell you what, Bogdan in a sec. Every bloody Uber Eats and delivery driver around here is always in a nicer car than I've got. I'm always like,
a minicab turned up to pick me son up the other day. It was a Tesla. Are they getting like tax breaks for driving around in lucky cars or something?
I mean, it must be something like that.
This is Flint in North Wales.
It's like it's rare that an Uber driver around here isn't in some sort of BM or Merc.
And a lot
it's
of them like, lease them, I think as well,
it's car payments, yeah. And they basically you Uber to cover your car payment. Which, you know, if that's what you want to spend your money on, fair fucks to you.
If you love sitting in your car that much, you want to just do it absolutely. As a shit paid living, then you go for it.
Crack on. But yes, it would be interesting to see if this is just sort of Farrell's first. Because once you leave him out of one squad, it becomes easier, you know? Like, it won't be a huge, like, there will be murmurs if he doesn't then make the autumn squad, but it won't be sort of unprecedented. And it's sort of, Farrell's maybe potentially quite cleverly played that to go with, oh, we're resting him, to, well, see you later, alligator.
Well, we shall see, I guess. Other news, Wales will get 8,200 fans for the summer test.
Yes. Yeah, but they won't be serving any food or drink in the stadia, which is going to make for a...
Can you bring butties with you?
I don't know, but presumably, because otherwise surely you can't expect somebody to sit in a fucking stadium in July with the roof closed for 3.5 hours without a drink.
Can you bring a disposable barbecue with you?
I can only...
And put it on the seat.
Provided the roof's open, it's fine.
Put it on the seat. Because they've got these seats blocked off, haven't they? You can easily fit a barbecue on one of them.
Exactly. I'm sure they're only made of plastic. They definitely won't melt.
They definitely won't melt. You could stop the virus coming at you by enshrouding yourself in fumes.
Mm-hmm. And you could make friends from a distance because you could sort of, you know, cook up some burgers for people in the seats around you.
Exactly.
You know, place them in a row in between the two of you and then retreat, and that person comes and then takes their sausage or their burger or whatever. It could be a lovely experience.
Defying Mark Drakeford, the nation's granddad.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to happen. I mean, people are definitely going to... All that you're doing by not serving booze at the stadium is ensuring that...
They'll all be piling in 1 second before kickoff time.
But they're also all, you know, somebody's going to come in with a rucksack with 24 cans of fucking blackcurrant strongbow, whatever the fuck it is, dark fruits. And it's going to be an absolute fucking car crash in there.
When my kids have had parties here, a lot of dark fruits gets brought.
It's very popular now.
A lot of dark fruits gets spilled. And a lot of stickiness, and just that you can never quite shift that smell of slightly sickly sweet, not quite fruit, out of your floor for a good few days.
I can imagine. Yeah, I mean, dark fruits obviously didn't exist when I were a lad. You just had to man up and drink strongbow like a man, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and not enjoy it.
No Alka Pops when I was a kid. I was like 19 by the time Hooch arrived. If you wanted to drink something that tasted sweet, you had to have Archers or Malibu and Coke and get laughed at by your friends.
Yeah. We had Hooch, we had WKD. We were in the golden era of Alka Pops, I think. We had Reef. Remember Reef?
Yes. Two Dogs.
Two Dogs. Yeah. Obviously, Smirnoff Ice.
Moscow Mule.
Moscow Mule, indeed.
Which was a weird one. Tasted a bit like peppery. Very strange. Yeah. But so my daughter had some blue Curaco I can't remember if I said this the other week for a, because it was for a part for a birthday. She had some friends coming around, and I said, "Oh, whose is this blue balls?" And she said, "What did you just call it? Blue balls? Don't be minging." I said, "No, it's blue balls." So we called it blue balls because it's balls that make it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, though she was disgusted at the what I was that I might have even been saying something accidentally.
I mean, it's as a sort of opening gambit for a conversation with your daughter. I think it would be a strange one even for you.
Blue balls used to go into a green monster. Do you ever see that?
Oh,
pint of cider with blue balls and perno in it. It was green, green monster. Fuck me.
Anyway,
moving on. So yeah, Wales. You can take all of those drinks in a rucksack into that stadium whose name
get
we don't like.
Up, lads, enjoy it.
Stop naming not stadiums only after anachronistic titles of a fucking country, dicks.
Yeah, if you're going to associate yourself with a building society, maybe have a building society that isn't named after a thing that diminishes the very notion of your statehood. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes.
What you got next?
Toulon have got rid of everyone and signed everybody else. So they've let 10 players go, including the presumably now re-retiring Manonu.
Yes.
Rudy Wolf has gone. Romain and Sebastian Taufifinua have gone. But they've 12 new signings to make up for that, including Ireland lock Quinn Roux, who's left Connacht, obviously. Cornel Dupree from Worcester, who I think he played for Scotland at some point, didn't he?
Yes.
Cornel Dupree? Yeah. Kieran Brooks from Wasps, which is a bit of a weird one. And Lepeti Tamani from La Rochelle. Tell you who isn't going anywhere, though.
Who?
Fucking Sergio Parisse isn't going anywhere.
Beautiful.
Who surprised absolutely nobody by delaying his planned switch to coaching next season, and instead is going to play on for another season at the ripe old age of 37. He's basically not leaving until he can get cheered off the entirely packed to the rafters Stadio Olimpico, is he? He will not retire until
he
that
will
moment.
Not retire until he can compromise an Italy performance.
Yeah, so all change down in Toulon, and Sergio.
It's not, big, sexy signing though, is it? That
era is gone. We're in the Quinn Roux, Cornel Dupree, Kieran Brooks era, which is a lot less glamorous.
What name would you give that? Galactico is the other one. What's this one?
the perfectly serviceable Lycos.
The normal Acticos or something. Anyway.
The reasonable signings given the budget.
The mediocricos. No, that's no good. Sorry. No, I'm literally thinking as I'm talking. So, what else we've got? Tonga 7 shenanigans is in the news.
Yes.
I'm loving it, though.
Me
Never
too.
Mind that fucking... Nobody's going to watch the 7 Tonga. Nobody's interested. It's what it means.
Absolutely.
So Malachi Fekitoa et al. Are going to play in an Olympic qualifying game to get qualified for the Tonga 15 to the next World Cup.
Yeah, which, I mean, they're trying to get, obviously, Charles Pietau can't because Bristol have a semi-final this weekend, but they're trying to get some sort of dispensation. I don't think World Rugby will fucking give that much shrift.
They're already a bit pissed off about this whole scenario.
Absolutely are. Scenario, but still... You know, Fekitoa playing for Tonga will be fun.
Yes, indeed. And it'll be better for everybody, won't it? There's no way that the product is not better by having... We've been through this before. By just creating 100%. Teams that can all compete a bit more.
I'll tell you what. I know I've discussed before, or I think that Malachi Fekitoa is an unbelievably good-looking human being. But he put something on Instagram yesterday about his... Or the other day about his leg day thing.
Right,
and
I can imagine.
Genuinely, it's him on one of them, whatever they call
leg press.
One of the ones where you put your legs up to do the quads,
like a leg extension thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. And, but I'm seeing.
I don't know. I think it's that. Genuinely, the fucking state on his thighs. it shouldn't. A human being shouldn't look like that. I don't understand how you look like that and you get through the day.
It was like Sonny Bill Williams shorts, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can only assume they had zips at the side, like strippers' trousers.
Yeah, everything you wear on that part of your body just has to be velcroed down the side. 1990s
popper tracky pants, basically.
And when you actually play a real game, you just have to be cut out of them afterwards because there's no yes. fucking hope in hell.
Somebody get a turnover.
Anyway, that's, yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. And more of this, indeed. I say. More of circumventing stupid rules.
Absolutely. Long may that continue.
What else we got?
Speaking of circumventing rules, Leicester are desperately trying to find some way to annul their contract with Mike Ford, who is currently the assistant coach, I believe, at Leicester Tigers.
Right.
Who knows what? Because they want Kevin Sinfield to come in instead, who apparently it's been confirmed now that he has, he's going to leave. He's currently at Leeds Rhinos. Is he director of rugby or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. He's going to go over to Rugby Union and basically just filling in the rugby league void that Mike Ford will vacate, I guess.
I get see
doing
Kevin
whatever
Sinfield,
a rugby league man does at Leicester.
I think Kevin Sinfield is one of those people that walks into a room and you have after 4 minutes of talking to him, people go, "What job do you want? Just tell me what job you want." I think he's one of those spectacularly impressive people, basically.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just feel that he's got that. He is one of those people that clearly has an aura.
Yes.
And
yeah. luckily tied with it quite a bit of ability. So don't be yeah. surprised if he ends up running the whole of Rugby Union within about 5 years. So
I mean, if I was Steve Borthwick, I mean, someone like Kevin Sinfield is absolutely yeah. the last person I'd want to bring in. It's like that guy is going to be fucking telling me what to do within about a month.
And Steve Borthwick stood there shouting, "You're a liar! You're a cheat!" at people. And,
and Kevin Sinfield's just sort of standing there quietly, standing there,
looking pristine working. And serene.
Mentally tearing up Borthwick's contract in his head.
But yeah, so, but I mean, does that mean George has to move now? Because they
mean,
are
those
kind
are
of,
the
you
rules.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
They can't be more than 12 foot away from each other at any one time, can they? So
no, indeed. Yeah, it'll be interesting, actually, because, you know, a big part of George going back to Leicester was, you know, wanting to work with Mike again and getting him back in the room. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they respond to having a different kind of Northern accent shouting at them all the time.
The side of the Pennines, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. Funny one from Sinfield, though. He was kind of the top. It always worries me about what it means about rugby league, really, because it's just a profile thing, isn't it? They just never, you can't do anything about it.
Well, that you can go from, you know, being director of rugby at one of the biggest clubs in
yeah, England, absolutely.
In Europe yeah. to just basically being an assistant coach to Steve Borthwick at Leicester.
But I think you look
at it'd be different if he was coming to the England setup or something. But
well, don't rule that out, I guess, isn't it?
I mean,
I suppose he talks to face. Well, I'll go and get some experience there. I am Kevin. One
I'll
of the
tell
most...
you who else has been in at Leicester this week.
Who?
Eddie Jones.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course he has. Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely
can
think.
Can imagine having to do his fucking tax return, the number of jobs he's got to put down.
Literally, he genuinely is trying to get sacked. I 100% believe this because literally last week, like, you know, it was him getting fucking, you know, slated in the press for doing all these extra coaching jobs. And Rob Baxter, like, was asked and said it would be very difficult for somebody like Eddie to sort of come and coach in the Premiership because of what that means for being the England manager. Literally 3 days later, he's rocking up at Leicester, and then within, and not only is he doing coaching with Leicester, he then talks to the press afterwards, seemingly takes sides in the dispute between Leicester and Bristol over that substitute shenanigans thing, and then literally 5 minutes later touts Ellis Genge as an England captaincy candidate for the summer, which I genuinely think would cause a sort of ructions among the RFU suits not seen since Will Carling, and I love it. Let it happen. I mean,
he's on so many levels quite awful, Eddie Jones, isn't he? But when he gets
when he gets the full mischief on,
it's just wonderful to see, isn't it?
It's like he said he's from the wrong side of the tracks and we want him to stay on the wrong side of the tracks, was the quote. I'll just imagine the blazers at the RFU having
incredible
Noel West's finest fucking representative. It was back when they had to have that New Zealander do it a couple of years ago because Eddie insisted. And now, oof.
Speaking of the RFU, they are to introduce a new tackle law at age grade rugby up to under 18, which says you cannot tackle above the armpits.
I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious, isn't it?
You would think so. And also, I think there's something about this whole culture change long game thing, isn't it? Because if you think, if you fast forward 5 years and the people who are 13 now come through into adult rugby in 5 years' time, having never tackled above the armpit. There's no utility in coaching them to do anything else.
No, it's like what we're doing now with professional players, you know, is invariably going to be fraught with difficulty because it's so all tied up with having to undo behaviour that they've learned since they were fucking, you know, 11 or 12 or 13.
Yeah, so like muscle memory in the people.
Yeah,
actual memory in the coaches that they don't want to change, and everything else that goes with it.
And so now we have, you know, a very sensible, you know, situation where we're automatically bringing, you know, and we're not only making kids safer when they're playing it, hopefully, by reducing the tackle height, but we're also, as you say, you know, we're creating another generation. You know, the next generation will instantly think that those sort of rugby league style big high hits are not something they'll have ever learned. And it's, yeah, it makes sense to cut it off at the source. And more unions, and to be honest with you, let's be honest, world rugby in general, I think, probably needs to start bringing that in generally.
And on the flip
side
of it,
it makes all the sense in the world. And it's really easy to fucking enforce.
It's easy to enforce. Well, and also, it won't do anything to the game. A lot of people worry what it'll do to the game. It won't do anything, will it? People will still be tackling roughly below the sternum, which is what you want to do anyway.
Which is where they should be tackling most of the time anyway. Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, it doesn't make... I can't see a problem with it. I can't understand why anybody would complain. And yeah, I'm sure people will.
I mean, I'm sure there's some issues around trying to interpret that at an amateur level and who decides. Yeah. And it's no different to any other law, though. It's nothing. There's nothing uniquely complicated about that compared to trying to referee the fucking ruck properly at amateur level.
And also, just if you're struggling to implement it, just do what they did in fucking the now defunct pro rugby in America and just draw a fucking line on the jersey. And then it'll be really fucking easy for anyone who's refereeing it to just see, you know, all those pro. If all sort of youth team or youth level jerseys had to have a sort of red line that ran across the chest at sort of armpit height, and you can do that because you can see where the armpits are on the fucking jersey, it's not hard, then instantly, players, coaches, everyone will know what is and what isn't a legal tackle. It's really fucking simple, guys.
Yeah.
So I
think it's a good idea. And they've taken a while to come to this conclusion, so fair play to them. And that I think there are genuine worries among parents of kids.
Yeah, and not unreasonable ones. So let's do what we can to fucking...
We avoid as much as we can horrendous head injuries and we keep participation up. Some people argue, by being like this, people don't want to play it because they want to knock the shit out of each other's barnets. It's like, well, no, they don't really, do they?
Well, no, they really do. They only do if that's, you know, the culture that they've been brought up.
Yeah.
You know? It's,
Okay. Any more news?
A couple of Exeter players have been cited after that on the weekend. Unsurprisingly, Sam Skinner and Dave Ewers both going to be facing bans tomorrow.
Hammersley's head into orbit.
yes, somehow, which somehow was.
Well,
just
guess which referee it was who didn't think it was a problem, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give you one guess. Carl Dixon.
It was Carl. I've lost my red. Well, I think he hasn't lost red cards because then he did give a red card for the Sam Skinner one, which, to be honest with you, was much more talk himself outable than the one that he did talk himself out of.
Yes.
Although I bet if I was Alex Sanderson, I'd kind of been wishing that those two decisions had been reversed, because I feel like whatever it was it like the 30th minute or something like that? That
yeah,
debut as well.
Was it Carl Dixon that sent Genge off? No, Sinclair off for saying, for fuck's sake.
I can't remember. Dixon? He didn't send him off, but he had an issue with him. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Can't remember. Oh, you were cited for it.
No, but you got cited for it.
Yeah.
But Carl Dixon, we've spoken about several times. Do you know who the independent disciplinary panel for the hearing is? It's going to be Jeremy Summers, Mitch Reed, and everyone's favourite pub quiz answer, Ollie Cohn. He's doing citing duty now. It's weird that. I always notice that in these panels. Like, there'll be one player that you forgot existed. Yes. Retired about five or ten years ago. It's weird. Anyway,
what much you get for sitting on one of them panels?
I mean, it's all this thing. Is now it's all on the fucking. It's just on Zoom, isn't it?
Yeah, but you still get like a day rate for it. I'm betting.
Well, I mean, given how long some of these fucking hearings go on for, and let's be honest, some of them seem to go on for 12. If they're paid by an hourly rate, Jesus Christ. You know,
I reckon they're probably getting
a nice little money.
The lawyers will get more than that. I reckon they're getting a grand each.
Oh, probably.
People
easy.
Sat there, minimum.
That's why they're so reluctant to cite people.
It's not a bad life, is it?
I don't know.
You've got to look forward, haven't you, for your
so
retirement?
Many people down.
When you pension, you do it like a judge as well. Black hat.
I would.
Take absolutely. Him down. Down the way, the stairs, back to his car. Don't question me.
It's got a selection of powdered wigs just behind me.
This is an informal process, Mr. Gardner. I'll be the judge of that, thank you, sir.
Oh, informal, is it? I'll put on my informal powdered wig.
Like you will see Charles that my informal first. Wig has aeroplanes in it.
Anyway. So
that's what I want to see. Never mind the outcome of a fucking side mission. What wigs is Ollie Cohn wearing? At this? And if he's not, why not?
Honestly, of all the players that I'd love to see in a powdered wig, I've never thought of it before, but I would enjoy seeing Ollie Cohn in a powdered wig.
Anyway, where were we? That's the news, is it? Are we done?
It is, yeah.
Well, we thank you all for being here for the news, but we're now going to say goodbye to our non-patron listeners as we head after the break into war animal time.
Oh yeah.
This year, Leaving Certificate students have new choices via the CAO. Whether you're going straight into the world of work or exploring routes to third level, further education and training and apprenticeships offer you flexible hands-on learning opportunities. The future is full of possibilities. Whatever your ambition, further education and training and apprenticeships can help take you there. Your future is what you make it. Learn more at cao.ie/options. This is an initiative of the Government of Ireland.
Pick up your phone while driving, and you might need to be picked up from work. Break the speed limit, and you could be breaking plans with your mates. Leave L or N plates off your car, and you could be left getting taxis for the next 6 months. So ask yourself, is it really worth it? 7 penalty points over 3 years will disqualify learner and novice drivers for 6 months. Steer clear of points and stay on the road. A message from the Road Safety Authority.
We welcome back our non-patrons for shit good, as you know. What have you got that is shite this week?
Tell you what shite is... AJ McGinty doing his fucking ACL.
That is
in
very, very
80th
shit.
Fucking minute. What, just a horrible, like, it was literally the 80th minute, the game was lost. Like, they, you know, they needed a bonus point and a win by 8 points to that game to matter in any way at all. It was done and dusted. and he just, you know, one of those horrible, he's just running in a straight line and his leg goes in the wrong direction. And yeah, it looks like a serious knee injury, apparently looks like an ACL. And like, he has made, you know, he's been a big part of why Sale have become this championship caliber team that they are. And like,
I remember when they signed him and saying, that's a really good signing. That could push them into the top four. That was about 5 years ago, was it?
And he's been a very, very flaky up and down player in those last couple of years.
I stopped talking about it after 2 years because I was embarrassed about my prediction. So.
But this season, he's been fucking excellent. And if, because he looks like a child still, it's easy to forget that he's 31 now.
Yeah, wow.
You know, he's a, you know, a very experienced, you know, he's played 85, you know, he's got nearly 100 competitive, in fact, he's got 101 professional appearances between Connacht and Sale, 85 for Sale, 16 for Connacht, and 30-odd international caps as well. Like, he's a proper experienced, like, genuine, you know, experienced veteran fly-off campaigner now. And yeah, what do you do with Sale, you know, if you're depended so heavily on his game, you know, particularly his game management, his ability to play the game in the right areas? You know, Rob Dupree is a decent enough fly off, I suppose, but he is absolutely not. He doesn't offer what McGinty offers at all.
No. So that is shit, yeah. What have we got here? Else is shit. Phil Jones says that shit is, although it's great that Treviso are in the Rainbow Cup final due to a COVID cancellation, the number of matches that have been lost to COVID cases in both the Prem and the Rainbow Cup over the last 2 weeks has really boiled my piss. Yeah, because that's what you were saying before, isn't it? I suppose it feels like it's ending.
They were eminently preventable.
Yeah.
And Henry Slade. They haven't been, yes.
We're not blaming you for, you know...
No.
We're not saying that Henry Slade is the cause of all these COVID cancellations, but he might be.
He might be, yeah. Reece speaking of extra, actually, and shit.
Yes.
Alec Hepburn's been on Instagram again.
Has he? What, loving the bones of people?
Not loving the bones of people. His takeaways from what Boris Johnson and Chris Whitty have said this evening.
Oh, well, you just this is hot.
Some nice takeaways. One, freedom apparently has an accelerator. Two, health comes in the form of a syringe. Three, only government scientists know how you can live safely. And four, the invisible enemy strikes wherever there is freedom and inalienable rights. He's then also posted a thing saying, warning signs, checklist of cult characteristics, with a caption, not many left to tick off.
Imagine
what are they doing to people in Exeter?
Imagine being sat next to him in the pub.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? There's always a bloke in the pub. You're just like, he just talks absolute shit about stuff. And they seem to have got them all in one club.
It's remarkable. What happens to people in Exeter that does this to you? Like, remember when they were like a model club and everyone liked them? And now it's like literally every single one of that, like half that fucking squad are like conspiracy toting fucking nutbags. It's really just remarkable. Where did it all go wrong?
I am noticing that that Rob Baxter is starting to give off like Jim Jones vibes.
Yeah.
There's a bit of Jonestown. If he starts wearing them big 70s fucking aviators and a caftan, you know that it's time to start worrying.
Let's face it, like, he said that Harry Williams had some interesting ideas about what's really going on back in the summer. And Harry Williams' ideas are straight out of the fucking David Icke book of lunacy. So it's catching in that squad. You know, they love the bones of each other, and also maybe people are reptilian.
As long as those bones don't require any kind of medical intervention that's recommended by scientists, Then those bones must be destroyed as a member of a cult.
If they are as close as some people like to make out that squad is, it's like it doesn't take many people being total fucking nut jobs before, you know, it's catching. I mean, thank God we're getting Thomas Francis out of there. He's already got a terrible haircut. I just hope he doesn't spread that nonsense to the Ospreys, both the haircut and the conspiracy theories.
I do genuinely think there's a bit of a sub, there's clearly a bit of a subculture down there.
Something
genuinely
weird in that fucking club.
And obviously people are allowed their opinions, but even when they're utterly fucking awful. But that's, you know, as people listen to this podcast will know. But it's bizarre.
They're definitely allowed their opinions, but we're also allowed to say that they are anti-scientific fucking horse cock. Because they are.
Yes. Anyway, moving on then. What have we got here?
Mm.
Reese Knott says, shit is, although I'm not sure shit actually covers it, mega shit maybe. He says, was definitely Stad deciding not to turn up in their barrage game against Racing. They didn't score a point for 47 minutes, and in that period of time, Racing scored 5 tries and Stad received 2 yellow cards instead.
I mean, I respect that level of just like, lads, we're not going to win the top 14 this year. Let's just fuck this game over with and
Stad are like
rest.
The Tottenham of rugby, aren't they?
They are
should
bit,
be doing
they?
A lot better, really.
Yeah, it's like they're a club owned by a fucking very rich man with a huge sort of aristocratic pedigree who barely do anything. It's weird. I like them like that, though.
Yeah. Stu Clark gets in touch. He said, shit is Matt Fagerson missing the Scotland tour with a broken arm.
Indeed.
He said, but good is that Scotland have finally realised that Rory Hutchinson's worth bringing in.
Yeah, it was mad that he was never in the squad anyway, bizarre, frankly. Weird.
Andy Bradshaw says, shit is the Lions vest sizing. He said, I know I've put some lockdown weight on, but 2XL is not a size. Not my size, he said. Also shit, he says, the other guys in the Facebook group looking fab in their too small vests while I look pasty and like an overstuffed sausage. He said, however, good is wearing a vest in this heat. I'm a convert. I have bought a Cardiff Blues vest.
Nice.
Because everything is 50% off.
Because it says Cardiff Blues on there.
Quite. So I thought, what fucking size I need? I went for 2XL because it's Macron. I'm normally a large. So I went for 2XL. Still a little bit snug, but probably just about acceptable. However, I did shovel 20 tons of gravel in it on Saturday and felt for the first time in my life like something approaching a real man.
Exactly. You combine manual labour with no sleeves and, you know, there's just something hardwired, you know, call it toxic masculinity if you want, but, you know.
The only drawback is I wish they were cotton. That would feel more manly in some ways. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that ship sailed. I know it's gone now. Everything is vapor dry, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
No, I've got some cotton vests. And I tell you what, in this weather, that's what you want to be wearing. You don't want to be wearing unless you're physically doing the exercise.
Better wicking cotton.
You're physically doing the exercise and you want to wick that moisture like a bastard. You don't want to be wearing anything artificial in this weather. Jesus, no.
And I mean, obviously, the crown of maleness in vest terms is an NRL one, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you obviously, you probably put one on and automatically become a total wanker, don't you?
But yeah, I mean, I got a South Sydney one and it makes me at least 15% more prick when I wear it.
I've got an absolute penchant for vintage Parramatta Eels gear.
Oh, now we're talking.
Because it's just, you can get the old Hardy shirt from 1986. The yellow and blue one. Oh, and their singlets are off the charts, but I think it's a strong colour. You have to have be Australian with a bit of a tan, I think.
Yeah, blue and yellow it's a hard colour to pull off with a sort of Northern European complexion.
Indeed.
I think.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of vest chat in the Facebook group for those of you who are not in there.
I'm really enjoying it.
Come on in.
I'm here for it.
Well, you had to fucking stamp out some.
No, I had to some vest slander. I had to stamp out.
You did have to. You had to change the fucking group rules to put an end to it.
I know. I hate to see it. I tell you what, though, who are Parramatta sponsored by now?
Is it Grindr?
Bloody Macron. You already know what size. You know what size you're going to be in a
3XL. Then I'll be just be a little bit more comfortable. They've got everything, Macron. Their sales team should win so many awards.
Or there's going to be a crunch at some point. Do you remember when BLK?
Yes,
had everyone. And then they went stratospherically bust, and they've never really come back from it. I've got a horrible feeling that Macron are going to do that at some point. I hope they don't, because it will fuck a lot of people over. But it does feel like they're expanding at a rate that is unsustainable for the time being.
Let's
move on to good, shall we?
Let's fucking move on, yeah. Sorry and all that. There's some other stuff there. Oh, last thing I would say is it's shit, is that Stuart Pavitt says that rugby values seem to be misogyny and bants.
Yeah.
I think bantsogyny is probably the best way to sum up what people would call rugby culture in too many corners of the clubhouse.
Probably
it,
is. Yeah. Actually, tell you what else is shit. Genuinely, undeniably, properly shit is former Gloucester Bristol Centre Jack Adams dying at 34.
Oh, God, yeah. Awful. Yeah.
Diagnosed with terminal cancer literally a couple of weeks ago, and things got bad real quick. It's just, yeah, it's fucking awful, frankly. There's a Just Giving page set up to support his wife and child. Yeah. Rugby, fucking do your thing.
Phosphor Tech pointed out on Twitter that there's a fundraising thing. And actually, no, we just said that bantsogyny is a bad part of rugby, but this kind of shit is when it all starts to show up.
Yeah.
And also, I've got a Just Giving page that I need to pump as well for the Doddy thing.
Oh, yes, you do, for the Doddy thing.
Right, good. Where have you got?
I'll tell you what was good. That bloody Ryan Baird try for Leicester. Locke should not be scoring tries like that. Not just like, I'm used to the sort of forward getting a ball and sprinting it in from 60 metres thing now. That's not that remarkable, but it's like, you shouldn't beat about four or five men, look like you're going to get tackled, offload it, and then pop up in the support line two phases later and crash over to score your own try.
You shouldn't do that sort of thing.
I mean, he looked fucking knackered after it, which I liked. I kind of liked it more for the fact that he had the look of a man that said, if you do not get me off this field and give me some oxygen immediately, this will be the last you ever hear from me.
Did the old rolling with the hands thing.
Yeah,
Steve, fucking hell. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was the fact that he went sort of east to west as well as north to south, you know, and the offload, and then he pops back up to receive the offload, and he's like, right, I am a tight headlock, and I am fucking knackered. I'll see you later.
Good.
To be fair, that was only 42 minutes. He's literally only been back on the field for 2 minutes. He was finished.
Good is obviously the fantastic news that lovely listeners and friends of the pod, Ian McGilp and Sophia Mirza, finally tied the knot after numerous frustrations and disappointments this weekend.
Congratulations, as Ian himself, that has been a saga. Fucking hell.
As Ian himself put in, good, I got to marry my best friend on Saturday after two cancellations, cancelled hen do's and stag do's, plus a cancelled Lions tour honeymoon. Oh, bless you.
Oh.
He said, I'll bring up some shit when it comes to mind, but right now everything feels like it's good. No, congratulations to both of you.
Indeed.
May the best of your yesterdays be the worst of your tomorrows and all that.
Quite.
Graham Gulvin gets in touch on a marriage theme. He says, good is 15 years of marriage, our annual anniversary getaway ending up on the set of The Mandalorian Season 3.
He posted that on the Facebook group. That was cool as
he did, didn't he? The 24-week pregnant Mrs. Gulvin did incredibly well to waddle around the glass fibre props and the hydroelectric power station with no complaints. She's a keeper for sure, says Graham.
Indeed.
I'd like to get her opinion, Graham, to be honest. I'm only getting one side here. I'm interested in balance. Indeed. Congratulations to both of you. Had a good day.
Indeed.
Is it terrible for me to say I got bored of The Mandalorian?
I mean, I can understand. If you're not heavily Star Wars-y, I am, though.
I just found myself a bit like, it felt a bit like, I don't know, like a weird police procedural. But with Star Wars...
There was a bit too much filler in this. I think they set themselves up with the whole Baby Yoda thing.
They couldn't untether themselves from it.
Exactly. They couldn't untether themselves from people wanting some sort of resolution to that. And I couldn't help but feel like it will be better now that they've hopefully resolved that.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Good is Lawrence Aggleton gets in touch. He says, good is the last minute of Bath's season. He said, but shit was the rest of Bath's season, obviously.
I mean, still got in the Champions Cup.
Just about.
It's not bad, is it?
That'll keep his job for him, won't it? The chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Vieira gets in touch. Hello, Patricia. She says, good is Gavin Coombs. It may have only been the Rainbow Cup, and it may only have been against Zebra, but he ended an excellent season with 4 tries and hopefully an Ireland debut to come this summer. And also good was Munster letting Billy Holland take this last conversion of the game. However shit is Billy Holland's place kicking.
I mean, you saw that coming.
Yeah, indeed. Mike Hemming gets in touch. He says, good is the evil overlord at Ealing Rugby will not be buying his way into the Premiership, but shit is the evil overlord at a cheating London club, etc., etc., etc.
Yes.
James, I mean, yeah.
Pick choose your boys in that regard.
James Mackay Mount gets in touch. He says, good is me busting 2 PBs with the weights this week. Yeah, but can you shovel 20 tons of gravel in a day, James?
Well,
my fitness is entirely functional. I don't waste time on fripperies like pointlessly lifting weights in a place I don't want to be in. There's no point. No time for it at all. Johnny gets in touch. He says, Johnny Ulster Knows. He says, good is honeymoon with a hot tub.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
He said, shit, is anyone using the phrase mini moon because I'm staying in Northern Ireland? What a shit show, he said.
Yeah, fuck that.
Why do they keep inventing these names for just staying in the country and going on holiday?
Yeah. Can you just
after
be going
Peloton,
on holiday?
This is the next worst thing about the pandemic.
Staycations. No, staycation is when you
fuck off.
When you literally stay at home. Yeah, exactly.
The cat's like, well, yeah, that can fuck off, says says Sully. Harley Worthy gets in touch. He says, shit, he's not been able to see Johan Lloyd and Max Malin's 10-15 combo of madness due to COVID-19 cancelling the match with London Irish. He said, however, good was not having to look at Paddy Jackson's face because of COVID-19.
It's always good.
Matt O. Scotland Forever says that, finally, good is me recovering from being concussed whilst mountain biking.
Well, good for you.
Good for you, Matt, but I don't think it's advised to get over concussion by mountain biking.
No.
Or maybe that's not what you meant.
Maybe that's not what he meant. Maybe.
And on that note, we do mean the fact that this has come to an end now.
We do.
It's actually gone dark while we were recording this. I'm sat in the dark now. Because it's gone on for so long.
I had to turn the light on.
I thought that it was... I thought I'd be well done by now, but it is dark. So...
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who've lasted till the very bitter end, thank you very much.
More power to you.
We will speak to you next week, or maybe before, after the Premiership semis, etc., 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 and the Rainbow Cup final, etc. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
So long. Bye.
Pick up your phone while driving, and you might need to be picked up from work. Break the speed limit, and you could be breaking plans with your mates. Leave L or N plates off your car, and you could be left getting taxis for the next 6 months. So ask yourself, is it really worth it? 7 penalty points over 3 years will disqualify learner and novice drivers for 6 months. Steer clear of points and stay on the road. A message from the Road Safety Authority.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.